By the time Avery pulled the Warthog into the curved drive of Harvest's Parliament building, he knew a lot more about Captain Ponder. How fighting the insurrection had forced him to miss his eldest son's wedding and the birth of his first grandchild. Precious occasions he missed much more than his arm. As they dismounted, buttoned their coats' brass buttons, and pulled on their black-billed dress caps, Avery realized he not only trusted, but had a great deal more respect for the man who wore his CO's uniform. The Parliament's lobby was thick with partygoers. Men in pastel seersucker suits, women in ruffled scoop-neck gowns, fashions that were already out of style in core world salons, but had only just taken hold of Harvest's provincial high society. Some of the guests gawked and whispered as Avery and Ponder passed, and it struck the staff sergeant that they were the first Marines, the first soldiers some of the guests had ever seen. But as they threaded their way up a crowded granite staircase to the ballroom, some of the curious gazes turned cold. "We might be a new sight," Avery grimaced, "but not necessarily a welcome one." It seemed the UNSC's handling of the insurrection wasn't any more popular on Harvest than it was anywhere else. "Nils Thune," someone bellowed from the landing at the top of the staircase. A thick hand shot out from a great swath of red and white striped fabric. "You must be Captain Ponder."
"Governor?"
Ponder paused on the top step and saluted. Then he extended his hand.
"It's an honor to meet you."
"Likewise, of course."
Thune's grip was so strong he practically pulled Ponder up onto the landing.
"May I introduce you to one of my men, Staff Sergeant Avery Johnson?"
Thune released Ponder's hand and offered it to Avery.
"Well, Johnson?"
Thune's red beard parted in a broad, toothsome grin.
"What do you think of our planet?"
Avery had a strong grip, but Thune's was immobilizing. His hand possessed the kind of strength one got from years of farming the old-fashioned way, without assistance from a fleet of hulking automatons. Avery guessed correctly that despite his vigor, the governor was well into his 60s. That he'd been one of the first colonists to land on Harvest.
"Reminds me of home, sir," Avery grimaced. "I grew up on Earth, Chicago Industrial Zone."
Thune released Avery's hand and stabbed his thumb happily to his chest.
"Minnesota, my mother's and father's side both, far back as I can remember."
Widening his smile, he ushered the Marines toward the doorway of a brightly lit ballroom.
"You're in good company, Staff Sergeant. Most everyone around here is from the Midwest. Pulled up stakes when the soil went bad. Of course, none of us knew just how much better things would be once we got to Harvest."
The governor snatched a champagne flute from a passing waiter and downed it in one gulp.
"This way."
He shuffled sideways through the ballroom doorway, his girth doing at least as much to part the crowd as any deference to his office.
"And stay close. The show's about to start, and I want you two front and center."
Avery shot Ponder a confused look, but the captain simply plunged into Thune's gap. Avery followed just as the crowd drew back upon itself, practically sucking him into the ballroom. Doing their best not to step on any toes, the Marines followed Thune to one of the many glass-paned doors in the ballroom's eastern wall that led to a broad balcony overlooking the Parliament's gardens, and beyond that, Utgard's Mall. Stepping up beside Thune against the balcony's waist-high granite railing, Avery saw that the park was full of revelers. Light globes tugging at their tethers in the twilight breeze illuminated knots of families sitting on brightly colored picnic blankets. Hardly any of the mall was left uncovered, and Avery was certain the vast majority of the planet's 300,000 residents were in attendance. But for what, he still wasn't quite sure.
"Roll!"
Thune's shout rang painfully loud in Avery's ears.
"Over here!"
The governor waved a hand above his head, but this wasn't necessary. Thune was taller than anyone on the balcony, Avery included, and the mop of thick red and gray hair that covered his head was impossible to miss. Avery craned his neck toward the ballroom in time to see the governor's somatotypical opposite slide out from the jostling crowd. A short, balding man whose elderly frame barely filled his light gray linen suit.
"Rawl Peterson," Thune announced, "my attorney general."
"Just a fancy way to say lawyer,"
Peterson smiled modestly through his thin, pursed lips. He didn't offer Avery or Ponder his hand, but not for any lack of courtesy. The jubilant crowd had begun to flow from the ballroom to the railing, crushing the Attorney General's arms firmly to his sides.
"Roll's about as formal as we get out here," Thune explained. "Stickler for details. He's the one who handled all the negotiations with the CA about us raising a militia."
"Technically," Peterson's eyes twinkled as he raised one of his white eyebrows, "I formally accepted their demand that we have one." Just then the sky erupted with fireworks, filling the gaps between the Tiara's seven elevators with multicolored blossoms. Jutting up from Utgard's skyline, the strands shone bronze in Epsilon Indy's failing light. As the showering sparks rippled the air around them, they appeared to vibrate like plucked strings in a giant's harp.
"All right, everyone," Thune roared as the last of the fireworks erupted in a smoky, blue-green cloud. "Get set!"
The governor put his hands to his ears, as did everyone else on the balcony except Avery and Ponder.
"Mass driver," Peterson explained. "We fire it every solstice."